Welcome to Wickedly Weird.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Amanda.
We've been best friends for 25 years, and ever since we can remember, we've been fascinated with anything strange and mysterious.
We may live on opposite sides of the country, but we're both New England girls at heart.
Where everything is wickedly weird. Exorcism is the religious or spiritual practice of evicting demons or other spiritual entities from a person or an area that are believed to be possessed.
Welcome to Wickedly Weird. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Amanda.
This is a bit of a special episode. It is kind of our 1 year anniversary for our podcast.
Yes. Well, we're very bad with timing dates sometimes.
Terrible.
So
yep.
Terrible. We never do things on a set schedule, so it's always a surprise.
Yeah, surprises are more fun.
Oh, yeah. So, Amanda, tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
We are going to be talking about exorcisms, which I feel like, if you don't know what it is, there's constantly movies coming out, correct?
Oh, yeah.
In the horror world, at least. With The Exorcist?
The 70s. Kind of made it,
yeah, more well-known to, I don't know, everyday people.
Yeah.
I just watched one
recently. The common folk.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Did you see The Possession of Hannah Grace?
No, I didn't.
It's got that girl from Pretty Little Liars in it, the one who plays Emily.
Oh, really? No,
yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it sounded so...
How was it?
Angry about that.
No, that's what you just did. You made that noise.
Oh, I... No. Oh, that's
and
weird.
And then I copied you.
Oh, because I was trying to think. I didn't even notice I made that noise. Creepy.
You have to be exercised right now.
No. It was okay. You know, it was decent. But another exorcism possession movie, you know.
And we just want to get into, kind of the background of how it started and some, notable stories that we've read about and stuff, I think.
Yes. And before you dive into the history, mm-hmm. can I just share a more recent fact?
Yes, please.
Polls
Were you just
and...
exercised? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, go
just
on.
Just the other day, I had to go through a rough exorcism.
She's good now.
Polls conducted in the last couple decades have showed that the percentage of people who actually believe in the devil is higher than it was, and that the number of people
was
that believe
when
well between so between 1990 to 2007 the number of people that believe in demons, the devil, and the need for exorcisms has gone from 55% to 70%.
Ooh.
So it's actually risen, which I thought was weird.
I think it probably has to do with movie and Hollywood culture, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's interesting, though. But
the Vatican has set up a whole new exorcism training course.
Ooh.
Because there's been an increase in demonic possessions in the last decades.
We'll definitely dive into what that means and some other stuff about that in the history. So if I can just pepper in. Sorry, I can't stop saying it. I can't stop. I'm going to salt in some history right now. So I'm going to ask you
a
question.
That's a good one as well. Okay.
What kind of religions do you think believe in exorcisms? What's the first thing you think of?
The Catholic religion.
Yeah, a lot of people think they're the only people who believe in that, but
I wouldn't say the only, no.
Yeah,
we
but
know
a lot
that
of people do.
The Jewish religion does just by talking about Dybbuk boxes in our last
episode.
Yeah.
But actually, the fact, the real history is that most major religions have some form of exorcisms that they, have performed on people that have, been possessed throughout all of recorded history. So I think that's super interesting because I never really thought about that because we only really think of Roman Catholic, exorcism.
That's how it's portrayed
in the media. And the media. The
fake news.
Favorite
word of this episode. Yeah.
But so I'll give a little bit of background of what I researched about how the first kind of recorded words about exorcism. In general. So basically been performed on people that all throughout the world from the beginning of written, like, records. So any kind of, like, you know what I mean by that, right? I'm not, like, some kind of paleontologist. No, that's a totally wrong word. That's like a dinosaur, like...
Wait, what? Person. So you're talking about written records? Do I know what you mean by that? Yeah.
Paleontologist. No, but I'm saying, like, throughout time, any, like, thing that's been found, even to this recorded. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recorded history. That's the word.
Okay.
Paleontological history.
That's the other word.
That's the other one. So.
Nothing to do with it.
It's like, we're going to be, like, sued right now. So.
Oh, God. Oh, well.
Like, oh, who cares who's listening? Some guy sues us out of nowhere. So, oh, God, I'm laughing. Hold on. I have to find my place. So, I thought it was actually interesting. One of the first records of how people perform them is in Hinduism, in their holy books. So it's, like, very deeply ingrained in their holy books. It's called Vedas. It's this set of books called the Vedas. Have you ever heard of it?
No, V-E-D-A-S.
Nope. So it's deeply connected to Hinduism, apparently. And they were written around 1000 BC. And a lot of it mentions, in the sections talking about this, mentions demons and evil beings that got in the way of their gods that would harm people. So it would, because, you know, they have, like, probably hundreds of gods. So these demons would get in the way of connecting their people with the actual gods. So these they would do these, like, certain traditions and, like, these spiritual remedies to help people. And it wasn't exactly called exorcism, but that's one of the first, like, writings about their religious leaders doing ceremonies to help people get rid of demons, because that's basically what an exorcism is. And a lot of writings about it up until maybe the early 1900s, never mention anything about mental illness. It's always, always about a spiritual problem or a demon. And I know. And so I think that it's a super interesting thing. We'll talk about that too. But another really ancient writing about it in Islam. Again, I can't pronounce, like, Islamic words very well, so please forgive me. But they have these...
I'm not going to hold it against you.
I know you will. I know you will. So in ancient Islamic writing, they have... there is possession in their writings. It was called S-H-I-R, sheer, I guess. And it's, like, dark magic. So they would write about how these... the prophets of the places that people lived and, like, sheikhs... I think that's what you call them. They're, like, sounds priests right. for Islamic. It sounds pretty great.
I feel like I've heard the word before.
Yeah. So they would, in the Quran, you've heard of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's written about in that, the Islamic holy book. So they have Islamic exorcism, like, rituals written in there. So I read about, like, what it specifically is. And, like, I guess people still do this specific ritual. So the sheikh, like... puts their hand on the person's head and reads aloud, but mostly screams aloud, these certain specific verses. That's
terrifying.
Yeah, so it's been... there's, like, a ton of older recordings, not just Roman Catholic things, written about exorcism, which I think a lot of people don't know, which is very interesting. And if I can say one more quick thing before you go, because I want to interrupt you one more time.
Oh, yeah.
No, but you mentioned in Judaism, like we just talked about.
Yes.
This is probably the most interesting thing I read about exorcisms. So they believe in Judaism that, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, like they got a lot of their writings from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that apparently they believe that not only did exorcisms get rid of this, like, demon inside a person, but it also helped the demon, like, move on and, like, get rid of their own demons.
What, like, become a better demon?
Yeah. No, like, become, oh. like, let go of their anger so it won't possess anyone else. I mean, which is kind of interesting, right?
I've honestly never heard that, like, side of it before.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense, because it's, like, a negative spirit that's just, like, attaching onto someone. That's what people believe. So I thought that was a really interesting thing. So that's what they believe in Judaism. So that's kind of interesting.
It, I mean, it's definitely a more positive look.
Right? It not only helps the person being possessed, but the entity that is possessing them is obviously disturbed. So it's helping them as well. So I think that's interesting. So again, just to like recap, like there's so many ancient religions that believe in the practice of exorcism, which I never really knew. So
apparently, yeah, still to this day.
Fun facts. Yeah. So Amanda, I'm dying to hear the story.
Well, first I thought I'd hit you with a little trivia.
Oh, please hit me with it. Hit me with it.
I mean, to be honest, it's all about the movie The Exorcist. Which...
How dare you.
I know. Did you know? Well, how many Oscars was the movie nominated for?
First of all, wait. Was The Exorcist the first, like, real... Hollywood take on exorcisms before I answer? I just want to know.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it was, because it was a pretty huge deal, this movie.
Okay, because
that's why I figured I'd mention it in this podcast. No,
that's a good idea. Yeah, because I think that's when it kind of became back into, like, American culture. So, let me think. I mean, I can't guess an exact number, because I'm not, like, some kind of genius who memorizes numbers. 8?
10, very close.
I was going to say 10 first, but
I just thought it was interesting, like, it was nominated at all.
Didn't the girl win Best Actress?
I don't even know. Did she? I know she was nominated. I'm not sure if she won.
I'm not sure either.
We'll not positive, but I know, like, the movie was terrifying to people. People, like, refused to watch it.
I think it's ridiculous.
People were sued because they said that, watching the movie was like a part of the possession. Yeah, like basically it was very, I don't know, strong opinions either way. Well, like movie theaters would hand out like bags with for people in case they got sick watching it. Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. Well, that kind of relates to things I've said many times before, like evil intent. Like if you're watching something evil, like, and you believe in it, I mean, you know.
Like if you believe it's evil.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It could become evil to you. But that's interesting. I can't believe 8 Oscar nominations. Interesting.
Now, is the movie fact or fiction?
Oh, well, I know this. What? It is part fact, because the story is based on actually a little boy.
Yes. Very good, Laura.
Oh, thank you so much. But tell our big audience about the real story behind the movie The Exorcist.
I mean, it's just based on a little boy who, like, they didn't actually give out his real name. They called him Roland Doe. Which I kind of want to save his actual story and talk about in a future episode having to do with this movie. But it's just, you know, a story of possession. Yep.
Yep. But it's one of the...
Yeah, a little bit of fact.
No, just kidding.
Oh, it's like, oh my god, are you okay?
No, I was just joking. No, I'm just like,
my turn.
Interrupting. No, but I think. Oh, how irritating if I did that all the time. I
thought that was real. But
that's great. I'm such a good actress.
It was really good.
Thank you. Yeah, but it is like part. What is a word for that? Is there a word for, like, semi nonfiction?
Partially.
Partial fiction?
A half and halfer?
A halfy?
A halfy? Yeah, I have no idea. That's why it's, like, based on a true story.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I'm being dumb right now.
But I do have a true story to share about a real life exorcism.
Okay, let me just get done with my own exorcism right now.
Weird noise you're making?
Yes. Please go on, I'm dying to hear.
So here's my tale. I picked one that's more recent because...
Well, it's not really your tale.
It's actually Dr. Richard Gallagher's tale, if we're getting specific.
We are.
Who was a psychiatrist, or still, I think he still is, and a professor at New York Medical College, and he also is now an advisor for International Association of Exorcists. Mm. So this guy's a Catholic, you know, he grew up a Catholic, raised a Catholic, and he, again, was a psychiatrist working with a lot of people, and the story that I'm going to tell you takes place actually in 2008.
What day? No, I'm just kidding.
It was, no, I have no idea.
I'm just kidding.
I don't think.
2008, okay.
So he had a patient come in who was covered in bruises, and she was very religious, and she thought that she was actually being hurt by demons and being, like, beat up by demons. So he examined her fully and really couldn't find any signs of, like, mental illness or disturbances, and little by little started to kind of look into the idea of, like, demonic possessions. Which he really wasn't interested in at first, but...
Can I interject with one thing about this?
Yes.
Just about... Okay, so the Vatican issued a guideline in 1999 that any person who claims to be possessed must be evaluated by a psychiatrist to rule out any mental or physical illness before they're, like, said to be possessed.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I know there's... obviously been exorcism stories where people have, like, died.
Yes. So yeah. I didn't mean to, I just wanted to mention that, so go on.
I'm not sure if that particular case was before or after 99, but for 25 years of his career, he worked with priests and stuff. So he has been doing the whole working with priests and exorcism possessions for a long time. But that's how he got into it, by that patient, and he was just kind of like, whoa, something's going on there. So he says that when somebody is typically possessed, he notices in his experience that they go into a trance, their voice changes. Sometimes they can physically, like, assault people. They might show superhuman strength, be, you know, super rude or violent in things that they're talking about, or crude, even speak in ancient languages, may know secrets about people that they shouldn't know.
And he ruled her out of having any, like, mental illness.
Oh, so this girl really isn't important. I was just using her as an example as, like, kind of got into psychiatry and then kind of shifted into a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm, like, doing the interrupting thing. I'm just very
interested. No, that's fine. No, if it doesn't make sense to you, then it probably isn't really making sense to other people listening, so. But, so, yeah, when he's, like, looking into, like, a case of somebody who might be possessed, I just thought this was interesting, that's why I'm sharing. He takes a really careful history of somebody's, like, background, their whole story, symptoms that they have, things that really don't fit a profile of a mental illness, and, you know, that's how he can kind of tell, and then, like, the other examples that I gave you, and he also has noticed that a lot of people that claim to be possessed have turned to evil in some sort of way, or as he calls it, Satanism, which,
like, something totally different from what they did before,
like, right, they were, or they're very, very religious, so like they're being kind of attacked for that. Now Satanism, I feel like, kind of gets a bad name.
Yeah, it's different. It's like, that's not the same thing,
right? But so 2008, he gets a woman who comes in. And she didn't want her actual name released, but she did say that it was okay to, like, report on her, so they just call her Julia. And she is a Satanist. She referred to herself as that, and referred to herself as a high priestess of a satanic cult. Again, a lot of Satanists don't actually worship Satan. They just take some of his beliefs and use them, like showing kindness to people who actually deserve it, and not just to everybody. You know, like, that's an example.
Yeah, no, I actually know someone who's a member of the Church of Satan, I think it's called.
Oh, you do?
Someone on Sing, but I won't.
And they're not evil, correct?
No, but they believe, it's kind of like Wiccan people, I believe, from what I know.
Like, isn't that different, though?
No, it's similar. It's, you know, but it's not, like, worshipping the devil, like, doing blood sacrifices and stuff. So
that's, yeah, like, they don't believe in harming... unless somebody is, like, really harming them. Like, that kind of stuff.
But a lot of times I think that the whole religion attracts people who have you know, have had problems, in my opinion.
Right, like, clearly, like, this woman was in it for not the best reasons. So, in her particular case, she did worship Satan, and she thought that she had paranormal abilities that were related to her high priestess in the Satanism world or whatever. So, she told this Dr. Gallagher, she's like, I don't understand how people could believe in a good God. It doesn't make sense in our world, blah, blah, blah. So, the night before he was supposed to interview her for the first time, he was
like
at
her
home.
First appointment?
Yeah, he had, like, set up an appointment, and it was the night before he was supposed to meet with her. They may have talked on, like, the phone or whatever, but he woke up, and he has two cats that live in his home, and they're both fighting at 3 a.m., which we know is, like,
the bewitching hour.
Yes, yes. So, the next day at the interview, you know, they both come into the room, and the very first thing she says is, how did you like the cats last night?
What?
Yeah. And then she had also sent a letter to the priest that was going to be involved in her exorcisms, saying that she had cats raise some hell in Dr. Gallagher's house.
Oh my god. So, but it's interesting she actually was, like, reaching out to get help. But while right. also, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, so she, I mean, he said that she was pretty creepy, kind of a mystery. He would have
just
phone calls with the priest involved, and then all of a sudden a voice would cut into their phone calls that belonged to neither him nor the priest, being like, she's ours, leave her alone. Like, this creepy voice. And again, had requested the exorcism.
Yeah, so she wanted, a part of her needed help.
Yeah, she was possessed and she didn't like that. But she was still actively involved in, like, her high priestessness.
So she was, like, taken over or something.
Kind of, but she also refused to leave, like, this world that she had involved herself in that had probably opened her up to the possession in the first place. Yeah, so she was torn. She couldn't really make a decision one way or the other. So they had, like, multiple attempts at exorcisms, and she, like, would go into this trance. There was a lot of different people that witnessed this, that worked with, like, Dr. Gallagher or the priest or whatever. And her voice would get really masculine or, like, very high-pitched. She would be very hateful, make animal noises. Objects would fly off shelves. And again, she would know things that she really shouldn't know. Like, for example, she knew that Dr. Gallagher's mother had died from ovarian cancer, which he had never told her. It wasn't, like, a publicized thing. She just shouldn't have known it.
And she said this in one of her trance states, or, like...
Yeah, voices. I guess they attempted several exorcisms, so maybe during one of those. It's hard to say if it was, like, during, I don't know, just a meeting,
it's hard
or if
to
it was...
know any of this, like, because... It's not like people film this stuff. If they do, it's probably not real.
Right. It could all be faked. I mean, again, they're not using her real name because supposedly she didn't want it used. But it could all be real. And it just,
I know,
they can't. Yeah.
But yeah. So what happened after her several attempts?
So again, she's definitely showing all the signs. He believes she's actually possessed. And then after her eighth exorcism, she quit. God. She was conflicted. She enjoyed some of her powers, is what Dr. Gallagher said. And a year later, she called again, wanting to start, like, you know, having an exorcism again. And he wanted to know why she wanted to come back. And she said, you know, like, she was dying of cancer, I guess. And he's like, okay, well, I want to just, like, talk to the whole team again and see what they think. And she's like, okay. And then he never heard from her again. So he's not sure, like, she might have passed away, supposedly. Again, this whole thing could be completely made up, but...
That's a lot of holes in it, I feel
it
like.
It is his story, though. Like, he's putting himself out there saying it happened. Like, it's his career
He's... and he's, a registered psychiatrist.
Yes.
So...
He's a real person.
He's not a ghost. No, that's interesting, though.
Yeah, it's not just, like, a Reddit story that I found. You know what I mean? Like, this is, like, a documented case by, like, an actual psychiatrist. But
yeah, can you post some info about it on Twitter only?
We're Twitter only podcast.
We're really trying to get...
Even though I never use Twitter.
Amanda knows, like, I'm pretty obsessed, like, trying to get Twitter famous with one tweet, but it's never happening.
It might happen. It's all about your beliefs and the energy that you put out there.
I know, right? I'm going to put out some energy. No, but that's very, very interesting because that actually ties into what I wanted to talk about next, about, like I said before, the mental illness aspect of it.
Yes.
So, for, of course, back in the day, like back in the middle ages, is that middle ages?
Middle? I don't know. What are you going to say?
The dark ages? Is that what I'm thinking?
I think it's like either or.
Either or. So back in the day, way back when, like in the 1600s.
I thought it was in the 60s. Yeah.
Back in the
60s. Way back when.
No, but of course they didn't have, you know, medical doctors to diagnose mental disorders. So there was obviously a main, they relied mostly on the church and religious things to cure people.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh. So I read about the official, like, first guidelines for exorcisms in the Catholic Church, because, of course, that's what most people think about. What was that?
I was pulling my sock up. Slapped
yourself?
No, like, snapped against me. My shin. Sock. Why sorry. Is it so hot?
I know, right? That's why I said, ew. So, okay, back to my story. But, oh, God, yes. The sock. Okay, so the first official guidelines in, like, the Catholic Church for the exorcism procedures, it was in 1614. So it was going against the grimoire. You've heard of that, right? Like, it was, like, this book of, you know, kind of, like, ancient practices that were
popular. Yeah, like, honestly, Wiccan, I didn't know it was, like, a real thing.
Yeah, no, it's just...
Heard of it in, like, shows.
It's mostly pagan.
Okay.
So, in 1614, it really laid out, like, the process of what to do, and that priests have the ability to, like, cast out demons, and this is what's going to happen, to drive out demons in the name of Christ. So, like, Christ compels you. That's what they say in the movie, you know?
Christ. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then also they say something called Vade Retro Satana, Step Back Satan. So that's the, so that was like a huge, the Roman Catholic Church basically didn't change their stance on it until the 60s. So after the 60s, exorcisms weren't really performed by the, Catholic Church until recently, actually, with some some people, like you said, there's like an international society of exorcists, so yeah. They definitely do still believe in the process of, in the practice of exorcism, but it's I feel like it was they felt like it was tainted by like movies and stuff. So like I said, like the Vatican guidelines changed in 1999. And it had to do a lot with mental illness. So,
good.
Yeah. So, and they changed their guidelines to say specifically this.
Ooh, I'm very intrigued.
The person who. No, I'm just kidding. I just had to. Sorry, I had to add some drama.
I had to do it.
So they changed the whole guidelines of exorcisms in 1999 because, you know, they wanted to get rid of the stigma that it was a movie thing because they still practice it. So they say that the person who claims to be possessed must be evaluated by doctors to rule out a mental or physical illness. And they also set out documents that say that most reported cases do not require exorcisms because they mostly are mental illnesses. And it's very, very rare. It's almost extremely, like, it's one in a million that it's actually a case for an exorcism because it's mostly mental illnesses. There's actually a couple, like, illnesses that actually are specifically related to this, like mental illnesses. I've never heard of these, but there's one that was actually, it was coined in the 19th century, so that's kind of progressive of them, but monomania, partial insanity. It was called demonomania. So okay. These doctors understood that the patient believes that they're possessed, by demons, but they actually have something wrong mentally. So it's the practice, like, kind of, you know, throughout the years, it's changed drastically of how people deal with it. And again, you can't, like actually do a test to see, oh, there's a demon in there.
I know, but, yeah.
But I think it's interesting that the, like evolution of how...
Yeah. You know, certain medications, too, and, like, yeah, drug use could definitely play into it.
Yeah, drug. That's another thing I was going to mention. So... There, hold on. Oh gosh, my notes. So many notes.
It's all right. We should do some research. Gotta exercise some of those notes.
But you know what? I can't spell exorcism.
Did it's I a tough one to spell.
I every time I spell it, it's the same. It just seems so bad. It's like E-X-C-O-R. I just can't spell it.
But wait, that's not correct, is it?
No, it's not.
Dude, you're
correct.
Adding the C too early.
I know. Why?
Wait, I have just... it spelled. I have it E-X-O-C-I-S.
Yeah, see, it's so hard. So maybe we're being possessed.
Exorcism.
Yeah, right? So, and another thing I thought was interesting is that once the practice of psychiatry was becoming popular in America, a lot of people who were supposedly possessed by a demon who came in for help, they were diagnosed with narcissism. Oh. And they just suffered from low self-esteem and they acted out to get attention. So a lot of cases were like that, which is interesting to me. But
do you think there's any real cases?
I don't, you know, it's really hard for me to say yes or no. I do believe that because, you know what, I don't know. I believe that negative spirits can affect people and make them, you know, drive to do negative and evil things, but I think a lot of it is mental illness, to be honest.
I mean, I'll tell you this. Working tell at me. A psychiatric hospital,
yes,
I have
on about
never
that.
Once seen somebody just start to speak a completely different language.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was happening and people knew, like, secrets or something, like that guy was saying, that would definitely be a little spooky.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden they started speaking some strange ancient language that, like, nobody's even heard of in years, and they have, like, no business knowing it, and then they were like, oh, and by the way, like, I
that
know this,
along
this,
with
this.
All the other evil things.
And then they started floating. Then, I might buy it, but...
But I mean, I do believe that it could be possible that if someone's so, like, open to negative energy, maybe it would happen. But I don't quite believe that.
Yeah.
The people, like, the publicized things about it. Like, why would people, like, publicize their own stories if that actually happened to them?
I mean, it could have happened. It's probably, like, very, very rare if it has.
And even the Catholic Church said it's extremely rare, but they still, you know, they still have priests who, you know, go to classes to look into if someone is possessed, if they need to, like, do exorcism rituals and stuff. So they still do that. So I don't know. It's very confusing. And again, it's not like an exact science. Like, we could never really know.
No, you can't.
And of course, culture, like movies and stuff, we're like, oh, god damn it. This is gonna, like, this is real. This is crazy. But I personally think most of it is mental illness.
Of people believing they're possessed.
Yeah. And, I mean, even back in the day, like, when I was talking about how it's in all the old, like, holy books and stuff, like...
Or even, like, physical illness, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, but they didn't know about, like, mental illness then, so they're probably just like, oh, it's just demons. Just like when people used to do the drilling to the skull thing
lobotomy.
To release the demons.
Oh, God.
Remember we talked about that before?
Yes. That wasn't lobotomy. That was something
else,
right?
Something... It's like I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
The demony.
But I'd be interested to see what people think. So let's do a poll about it.
On our Twitter. Our favorite new place to engage.
On our Twitter. The best place ever. But yeah, I think let's do a poll.
Yes.
Yes, so if anyone goes to our Twitter, Wickedly Weird Podcast, we're going to post something Just a simple question. Just go with your gut. Do you believe that people are possessed or it is a mental illness?
Well...
It's one or the other. I just want to see what people think.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I believe there may have been, like, one person in time.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. But I just want to see, like... Amanda will add a third option.
I have one more trivia, by the way.
Yay!
It's kind of silly. And great. Again, it has to do with The Exorcist.
How dare you do this?
Are you ready?
Go on. Yeah.
So the voice actress who did the voice of, like, the possessed child, not the little girl, but the woman actress, what did she do to make her voice raspy enough to play the part?
Wait, so there was, like, a voice doing the scary voice, right?
So, yeah, the girl, when she was nominated Oscar, there was some scandal surrounding it, because people found out there was actually another actress doing the voice, and they didn't know that.
Like the...
Yeah, all that, like, yeah, you did the... Yeah, all that. It was a different person.
Interesting.
I know, I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the kid was, like, 10. But, sorry, what was the question? I got distracted.
Oh, what did she do to make her voice, like, sound like that? Raspy.
Smoke a bunch of cigs.
That's one thing.
Drink a bunch of booze.
That's another. What's the third?
Scream.
No, that's a good one, though. She chain-smoked, drank whiskey, and ate raw eggs.
Ew!
I know. What? Like, why? I've never heard of that in my life.
Actually, just a side note, if anyone's listening, me and Amanda were in the choir at UNH. Do you remember when the director told the guys... that they couldn't reach low enough notes, so he said, everyone go home and drink a bunch of whiskey.
Oh, yeah, maybe, actually.
Yeah, he said that. Get he was it. So yeah. Pissed off because they couldn't reach the low bass notes. No. And they were like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, right? Said hey, that. He said we can, so.
Yeah, no, he said that, so I guess it's a real technique for actors.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going to give you a would you rather.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. Would you rather have to create a Dybbuk box and put it on eBay and post it all over Facebook, all your social media, everyone knows you created it and you became this complete psycho.
Yeah.
Embarrass the shit, like create this outrageous story, or would you rather buy one and open it?
Embarrass myself. What about you?
Yep, same.
I would not buy one and open it. I'm not partaking in any of that.
I'd rather craft one.
Yeah, no.
And I would I would also not mail it out. Like, I would not sell it. I would, like, create it.
Yeah, I would not
want
to profit
from
that.
Yeah. But give me one would you rather before we go.
Would you rather be possessed by a demon or be a priest? Who has to exorcise the demon from the possessed?
Obviously. What? Obviously.
It's a real chance of death if you're the priest.
I don't care. I'm going to be a priest. First of all, they don't even
But you're going to be a priest, though. Are you okay with that?
I'm not okay with any of it. It's all terrible. Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
So well, on that lovely note. We're going to be coming back in our next episode talking all about ghosts. We're very excited to kick off the October season. I actually have been having so much ghostly experiences. I think you have too. So I feel like we really need to chat about like all the different types of ghosts and like what they all mean and do. Very excited for it.
Like
so stay tuned.
A succubus?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Is that a ghost? Yeah.
So many things to talk about.
Yeah.
And we will definitely be, like, upping our you know, what is it called?
Posting
things on normal times. Number, like, we're not going to be lazy this month because it's a very important month.
Yes,
so
we can't
stay
fall
tuned.
Behind.
Stay tuned. We're going to be whipping them out like crazy.
Yeah. Faster than
whipping
you
them out like a priest is doing an exorcism.
What is he whipping out? Oh, the demon.
I don't the demon, you
hopefully
psycho.
Not anything else. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, man. Good night, you psycho.
We're talking about priests. Okay. Good night, and check us out on our social media, Wickedly Weird Podcast.
Oh my god, I'm so sick.
I said, hopefully it wasn't.
You said, well, it was a priest. my gosh. Okay, so sorry. All right. Well, thank you again. Listen for some now. More. Goodbye now. Goodbye.